You're listening to the War Machine and Hordes UK and Ireland Super Series podcast. And welcome to the War Machine and Hordes UK and Ireland Super Series podcast. This is episode 7. This is Chris, currently recording from a random bedroom as he's the homeless pauper. And tonight we also have on the cast, James.
Hi, I'm podcasting from my new house. Yay, go me.
And Rich.
Podcasting from my house.
You can see how the podcast runs as it kind of goes upscale as with each host there. So, apologies that we've been a bit slow, obviously. We're also missing Toby because he is also just bringing into the world his new baby girl. And I have just brought in my first daughter as well. So it's all madness here, but we're still going to try and get some more machine goodness out to you guys, as I know you're all chomping at the bit out there.
Massive congrats as well to obviously Chris and Mal. Delighted for you guys, and obviously Toby's been messaging us this morning saying he's just had a kid as well, so massive congrats to all the team. Well done. Feels like some good adulting has gone on.
Indeed, and I can already see it now. In maybe 12 to 13 years time, we're going to have Toby's daughter and my daughter in the UKIS finals for the Nationals champion. I can see it now. The training starts once they're out of diapers. Right. Brilliant. Anyway, so what we'll do then, try and get this back on the rails slightly, is we'll run through the events that are coming up. We'll then talk about some of the recent qualifiers, and then the topic for today is going to be about 2 and 3 list formats and how you sort of think differently about them. It's going to be a bit of a short one because we've also got the War Nouns of Renown cast coming out this week, so keep an eye out for that. That's the initial new cast, the sister cast, if you like. Right, so I'll just go into the qualifiers. So we've just had we've got two coming up. Sorry, we've got the Firestorm qualifier, which was meant to be on the 3rd, but it's actually now been rearranged to the 31st of March. There are still tickets available for it. They're £7.50 before the day or £10 on the day. I have been informed that the lazy locals haven't bought theirs yet, so if you can get in there, you can sneak past some of the Welsh and qualify instead of them, which would be hilarious. If you need that, that's at www.thebattlefields.co.uk, and you can find the tickets through that link there. We've also got the Weekend of Midlands Fun with the Leicester Fat Cats on the 21st of April, and then the Walsall Steamroll on the 22nd of April. So I reckon you could probably get yourself a hotel and treat that as like a crazy weekender of events.
I think it's the other way around, Chris.
It might be the other. Apologies. I think
Walsall's a Saturday, Leicester's a Sunday.
Ah, there you go. Apologies, I must have just copied them down wrong on my notes there. So get yourself involved, and then obviously you can send us messages to James on the cast telling him about how you've done so well at the Midlands and stole the Midlands seats. We've also got on that weekend, I believe, is the 3rd Firestorm qualifier, which is on the 21st of April, so you can again get in there quickly and take all the seats from those local Welsh players. And then coming up, and also quite pertinent to the topic today, we have the Welsh Masters. That is going to provide a national seat as well, and that is now a 160-man event, which I believe is the largest single player event we've had in the country. I'm pretty sure.
How many players is it?
160, and they are all sold out.
I think the Mark II one, that some scrub one, was 163. Not that he remembers it. I think on the day it's less. I think this is really big.
And if you want to see that wonderful Rich victory, obviously you can go on Twitch and you can watch how his glorious victory in the final, how he outplayed his opponent.
Yeah, beautiful. It was beautiful. It was more the dancing round afterwards that I quite enjoy on that Twitch. So, yeah, great fun.
I had no idea what was going on. I still love that. People are like, oh, you seem to know how the matchup went. You know, it just came down to that assassination, whether you live or not. I'm like, I'd never played Kinty in my life. I had no idea. I thought I was dead safe. I was behind a wall with a shield guard camping some. No, oh,
that's great.
Anyway.
Anyway, also, there was lots of models' lives lost at the weekend just gone, up in the northwest and also down in London with two more qualifiers being played. So at Harlequins, we had Jim Gradwell with his K-Dor, who says K-Dor can't win events. And we had Adam Jones with minions. I don't know what's going on with minions at the moment. They're just stomping everyone. So there's two further Northwest qualifiers. And then for London, let me just bring them up. We had Ryan Evans, David Margetson, Colin He Kain Lung. I probably butchered that name. And some random, no one knows, called Pat. They all qualified from the London regional. I'm sure they're just scrubs anyway, so it's fine. So if you want to, there are still spots available for that London. If you want to try and get in their final series, and you can qualify through. I mean, to be fair, there's not many good players in that bunch. Seeing as Toby's not here, we could just slam him. It's great. And is there any other news for events that you guys want to throw up while we're going through them?
Don't think so. No. We've got a WC practice day this weekend. I'm just thinking out loud. I don't know what I'm talking. I'll shut up.
No, that's fine. So WC practice day, which is being held at Element Games, I believe.
It is at Element Games. Yes, and then we're going to be looking at dates for April as well. To do something similar, probably in a different location. So the way that we're trying to run these at the minute is a two-day event. The first day is all about matchups. So bring an army, see what you want to play into. So for the guys, yeah, it's about any practice into X. Usually X is Krix or Haley 3, looking at the matchup grids. And then Sunday, some sort of steamroller. I think we're running pods this weekend because a few people have to get off earlier. So we're going to be running kind of pods of 8 or pods of 16. But yeah, great fun day, really tough games. If you get some answers in your area, pop along. Saturday's kind of, well, both days are open for anyone to come and play some bits of tickets. So yeah, should be good.
Cool. And also, it's not to do the UKIS, but just to show you, because we love War Machine and we love War Machine in UK and Ireland, so we just want to show you how good it's doing. We have the Northwest team event, which has been not only set up, but it's also sold out. So unfortunately, if you haven't got your ticket already, you need to be more on the ball next year. But if you are interested, and it is something that you think you could have got five people arranged for, because this is currently got, it's got all three England teams, it's got an Irish team, it's got a Welsh team, and then it's got a lot of local clubs. I'm captaining one, and I believe James is gonna captain one as well. So if you're there and you're thinking, oh, we could have gone to that, if you let the organisers know, the Facebook group is up there, whether he can extend it or not, we don't know. But if they know that there was like 10 more teams that could have gone, then at minimum next year, we might be able to expand it even more, make it, you know, if they know the interest is there, then obviously it can only get better. So I'm fortunate to be the captain of Team Inverted, which is currently number one. That's when we bought the tickets, but not, I'm going to say that we're number one currently.
Highest ranking team.
We bought the tickets first, so if you look at their list, we are at number one. That, I mean, that's probably going to be the only time we're at number one, but we are still at number one. Anyway, back to the topic at hand. So the topic today is 2-3 list format. So James, be a little quieter. Do you want to introduce us to this topic and then we'll each chime in?
Yes. So with a lot of local events that we have in the UK, they're usually two list. They're usually three or four rounds. If you want to have DNC one, especially, you know, it's very, very hard to run three list in DNC one. So you see a lot of two list local events. And then we'll have a major seven-round Masters, like Welsh, or like Nationals, or like Blood and Oil, and suddenly you're asked to bring three lists. And you could just add an extra list, which covers things that the other two lists don't cover quite as well. Or we could be looking at, you know, changing your list completely, so you can look at it a different way. And it's interesting to think which one of these approaches you look at yourself. How do you look differently between two lists and three lists? Does that pretty much sum up what you wanted?
It does indeed.
Mm. I think for the record on three list, it really hurts my head. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah. I mean, didn't you win Welsh Masters partly because it was three list? And Cador are pretty good in three list.
That's probably what people thought. I'm not sure that's why I won. It's more being mad lucky.
Yeah.
No, but it does benefit certain factions, is what I'm trying to say, I suppose. There are certain factions that struggle to cover the whole game with two lists.
Well, do you think you can cover anything in two lists? Like, Chris, you and I, we've talked about two list pairing, and do we get to you can't cover the field in two lists?
The way we said it for the two list is that the two list provides your understanding of the meta as a skill, whereas three list possibly reduces that a bit, because when you've got to obviously be good, you've got to know your list, you've got to know your army, but also because you can't cover everything, part of the skill is actually understanding what you expect to see there, what you expect people to bring, what you think that other people might bring to counter that, and that provides a bit of additional to it. Whereas three, you've always got that an additional safety of changing it up. One thing I will add, just to some of the differences that we see nowadays, is that Blood and Oil, Nationals and Welsh, I believe, are all DNC zero for three lists, so it's like the freest format. So technically for me, that really changes things over being DNC one, because with DNC one you will have to play your third list, so it has to be a list that you think can be played, whereas when it's DNC zero, it gives you the option, as James said, to just throw in an extra list on top of your normal pairing, because technically you might not even play it.
I mean, it goes to show, if you look at Blood and Oil and who's done well at Blood and Oil the last 2 years, would you believe that most of the players have just played one list, even though it's DNC zero free list? They don't even use two lists. They literally just go, oh, I'm going to play Haley Free every single round, or I'm going to play High Reclaimer in 2017 or 2016 every round. There's a lot of just one castering which goes on in DNC zero, which I think is really interesting.
Yeah, I mean, is it fair to say it's, even though it's a lot of one casting, it's only one caster, and that's Haley 3. I don't think there are many Cricks, some of the Cricks casters maybe, but Haley 3 feel like the only people to drop into the whole field.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. So that's interesting. I guess with two list feels like you can't cover the whole field. I'm not sure that's a great thing. But it's certainly DMC Zero two list, I think it's a very good format. And you can cover a lot, and I think you then get into faction specific answers. So some factions are very good in two lists, Signar's one of them, because Haley 3 still struggles with so many things. Other factions, maybe Cador, struggle a bit in two lists. You're trying to cover a lot of matchups that are tricky in one list quite often. So you have a main and then a list that needs to cover like Cricks and Signar. Three list in theory means that you can bring answers to everything you need to, and you should be able to build a three list pairing that can play into pretty much everything else in the field. I guess the challenge I have with three lists, and the question I want to pose to you guys is, in this, do you feel like there are more games that end up as list chicken because there's more combinations of matchups, and there's more good and bad? See, they're the same thing depending on which side of the table you're on. But with two lists, you can quite quickly get to a situation where you go, the matchup is X versus Y. And you both know that. With three lists, it feels like there's a lot more, oh, you can chop that. That's interesting. I'm going to have a bad time now.
It's quite pertinent to a conversation we've had with our local group at the moment. So one of the things, and I'll brace it, and obviously just stop me so I don't yammer on too much, but I'll brace it on how I'm approaching it currently. So with the two list pairings that I'm having at the moment, I'm currently looking at Orion and Axis, because I kind of feel that at the moment that they're the two casters that I'm the most interested in. The two casters that I like the models and the way everything works for, but also they are a good pair, and I feel that I can play into most of what we're currently seeing with them, or at least give me a chip and a check. With the third list, because of that, one of the things I always tell my locals is that experience is the most important thing, that a good player, as much as having the right list and having the right tools and stuff like that, is that a good player can still play around these things. You know, a good player that, yes, may not have a direct answer to Clouds, but if they've played their list enough, they've got experience of that into Clouds, they might actually come up with other options or other ways of dealing with things that you might not expect. And in the game of War Machine, you make a mistake or you give your opponent an advantage, that's going to mean that you can play your way out of it. So I kind of feel that list chicken will only come in if your reliance is on the list to get give you like a stomp. If you go, oh, this is my I stomp Kador list, and then you know, you've not got the experience. And I think that the problem with a three list format, and I mean, I don't know about you guys, but I especially at the moment, I'm not getting a million games. So the games that I'm playing are going to be with the two casters that I've got for my pairings, the Steamrollers, for team events, things like that. A third list that I may or may not play kind of feels a bit of a waste, you know, because it's very specific, or it's, you know, only for these three events. Are you going to... That's like an extra, you know, 50% of game time and game experience into the options to actually get that level of understanding, which it might be why James said, you know, you get these events where people just play one list for 5 out of 7 rounds, 6 out of 7 rounds anyway, even though it's D&C Zero, because they just have the experience with it. Or they're going, oh, well, they've got Answers to Clouds, but I know how to get around that with Halley 3 anyway, or... maybe Halley 3 is a bad example, but you see what I'm saying? It's that kind of like three list is like a whole extra amount of understanding. And I think the list chicken comes in when you kind of go, well, I've taken this to be my X drop, but actually, because they've now got three lists, that means that this isn't as good a drop as I thought it was, because now they've managed, they're going to bring Cromac as well as Kruger, and it does, this drop does nothing to Cromac, whereas it completely stomps Kruger, if you see what I mean.
I think that's exactly what I was worried about with three lists. Is quite often I hear people go, right, I've had my U pair, and then I need to take a silver bullet answer to something. And if you, whenever you have a silver bullet answer that's so choreographed, I feel like it's against a savvy player, it's quite dangerous to drop. And a great example of this was back in Mark II. And by on a side note, I love the fact we use Mark II for these examples because it doesn't have as much in Mark III. But in Mark II, if you play Trolls into Cricks, you had your list and then you had your Crick's answer, which is usually on the Grim. So it's usually Grim 1 or Grim 2. And you got certainly towards mid-turn to Mark 2, Crick's players knowing what your Crick's answer was in Grim 1, and instead of dropping Scar, which you could play out of, they started dropping your other list, which you had no chance into. And all of a sudden it became very difficult to play because your drop is so choreographed. So
what's an Arbra?
Exactly. Yeah, some random stuff. But what is that? So I feel like if you're building your list as a three list with your pair and a silver bullet for a certain matchup, it's usually quite easy to see you know, what you're trying to do. And then you're in a situation where if you look at your list that you want to drop, say into Crix, for example, so you've got some magical weapons, you've got some things that remove stealth, and you've got, you know, some anti-infantry check and shooting, and then you look and see they've got three lists, you know, one of which actually stomps it, one's a game, you know, and one you're quite good into, it's all of a sudden I'm looking at it, I just hate that situation, because your opponent almost has perfect information on you, or you go into this really weird leveling war where you go like, I know, or I think that you think that I'm going to drop that, so I'm actually going to take my Crick's answer and never drop my Crick's answer into Crick's, because I think that you're going to drop that, think I'm going to drop my Crick's answer, so I'm going to drop list one that is good into the list that you think you're going to drop into the Crick's answer that's good into your other list. Does that make any sense at all?
Yep. The worst feeling in the world is to play yourself, is to think, oh, but they know I'm going to drop this, so I'm going to drop this instead. And then you drop it, and they're just like, what the hell have you done? I thought you had a really good drop into me. It's the worst feeling. It's you played yourself, and it's the worst feeling. I mean, just to rewind it a little bit back there, I genuinely feel like most players can cover the field with two lists in most factions. You might not have yourself, you know, a favoured matchup. You might not even have an even matchup. You've got a matchup you can play, even if it's a 40-60, I think that your two lists can usually cover pretty much everything that's out there. So that's one of the reasons I'm not hugely in favour of it.
And because
trolls do telegraph so hard on what they're going to drop. Like, oh, have you got Beast Brick or Infantry? I wonder what you're going to drop into my Crix list. You know what I mean? Like, it's painful.
Yeah. I think there's some factions that are more advantaged in three lists, probably because they can clutch on one and they have an answer, or just a very good generalist. Halley 3 is a great example. So all of a sudden you can be looking down a barrel of like a Halley 3, a Cray, and even like a Haley 2 as well, you know, just a pair, it's a nightmare. And I think the other thing as well, which isn't great from three list, is it allows some factions to take a third list they wouldn't put in a pair because it's got some things that just stop it from winning, and you can't rely on it. You can't rely on one list all the way. Hatred excluded, but allows them to start taking this like Nemo 3 as a third list.
Yeah,
and just have this right. If you can't deal with this, or if you can't shut this down, it's pretty much just an easy game for me. But I don't need to risk putting in a two list pair and going to the tournament because, you know, I could come up against stuff where I can't drop either of them. But in a three list, I can take this and just deal with it. And a great example in Kador, it's like Vladmon Rockets is still a really strong list. It's a lot of stuff that answers it, there's a lot of stuff that doesn't. So if you just look across at like, you know, some medium death infantry and two sort of bricks with limited defensive tech, you can just drop Lad One and be like, yeah, I'm just going to shoot you off the board. But you don't need to rely on shooting your opponent off the board to have answers, whereas, you know, that'll get you in trouble in two lists. So, yeah, I think overall I'm not a fan of three lists. I think it's probably coming across.
I agree. I mean, the situation I'm in at the moment is that I've got two lists I'm really, really happy with, and now I've got to spend the next 2 months trying to find a third list that answers questions. And I'm like, I've got decent but not amazing matchups into Grimkin and Harby. The two things that I'm really worried about for my pair. And now you have to sit there and go, which, well, you can't build something that beats both. No. So what do you do? You know, I mean, you're instead trying to choose which one you reckon you're more likely to see.
Mm.
And that's tricky.
I definitely think it is. And the fact you're saying I need a third list to cover Harby as opposed to Manoth is also what makes it difficult, because it's a bit like team tournaments. It's very hard to drop a list and hope you drop into one of three, especially if that list is teched for, in this case, high def infantry that are a nightmare to kill, because that's typically going to struggle into Amon and maybe, I don't know, a Thyra stealth spam.
I actually think that's one of the appealing things about taking, let's say I took Grim 2 because I wanted to deal with Harby and Cats, right? If I take that list in free list DNC 0, I take it, and I know whenever I'm playing Menoth or when I'm playing Scorn, I'm not going to see either of those two things, and I can just drop a normal list.
That's nice. I like that.
It is, yeah. It is, but you're using the whole list up for it, whereas Madrak 1 has okay, slightly unfavoured matchup into Harbinger, but you can play it. Do I want to build some Beast Brick that might have a better chance into Grimkin? Like, that's the question that goes through my mind. But either way, they are very, very select niche matchup lists that will get used if and only if I see a certain opponent.
Mm. Chris had a really good point that I hadn't thought of, but I appreciate. But certainly when you're prepping for this, it's like on a club level, people get, one or two games in a week on average. The people who are playing lots of games, maybe, four plus. But most people get to a club night once a week and probably play two games. Call it three on average a week to get to a steamroller once a month. So actually the difference between two and three lists, especially for the practice, is really big. So three lists could actually be a trap because you end up at a tournament with like three lists that you have played a few times, not great, as opposed to two that you're much more confident in. I've never really thought about that until Chris mentioned it.
And let's be frank about this. It also benefits factions that have a lot of good diverse themes. So I'd like building more formats to help Crix, which doesn't seem sensible from my side as well. Like, let's build the Crix format where they can take Jax, Atixis, or Baines. Yeah. No, thank you.
Yeah, I mean, it's as I said.
I'm just being whiny.
I kind of feel we are
even a cheeky dart, a cheeky Ghost Fleet.
Exactly. Why wouldn't you take Ghost Fleet in free list and go, oh, you don't have an answer to Ghost Fleet in any of these free lists? I'll just win this round.
Yeah, I think that shocking. Is actually something which
we thought she was.
I think that actually might be what my approach is to it's these sad. Three lists.
But yeah, I think so. Something you raised that I wasn't sure on was when you're talking about three lists and you're saying, well, I won't see your list one because I've got Grim 2. So use examples like Harby. Let's say Thyra, Harby, Amon, three list, Menoth. Pair, and you've got Grim 2 in your list, and maybe this is where I struggle is going, well, yeah, you've got this kind of crazy game theory matchup grid, but I think it sounds like you approach it by going, right, I'm going to take Grim 2 on my pair because I'm not going to play Grim 2 because they're not going to play Harvey. So it almost feels like you kind of like League of Legends kind of hero cancelling. Is that how you think about the matchups when you're in three lists?
Taking a hard counter, yes. If I'm taking a hard counter list, I'm basically just saying, I know that if you're good enough to beat me with that list, then you're good enough to know that it's not worth risking the 10% chance of winning the matchup. Does that make sense? Like, yeah. they're not gonna risk a really unfavored matchup, which is basically, I mean, it's not an auto lose, but it's as close as you can get playing into Mortality when you're Harvey. Yeah, so I feel if you've got a hard counter, you have to assume that the opponent is not going to, double bluff you and risk it because they're basically playing into a very, very poor game. Let's say you're playing into Mortality with Harvey, you pretty much lose almost all of what you do. And so you have to assume they're not going to drop that, and then you just ignore it and go, what's my best shot into the other two lists? Because you're essentially just taking it off the table and saying it's not going to be an option. Mm.
Yeah, I think that's another is how I'm approaching it as well, is that the two lists that I'll choose are probably going to be my normal pairing, and they're the ones with the most experience. But I don't know, it might not be the case in every faction, but you get that kind of list which you like, it's fun, but it really only has maybe one specific kind of matchup, or maybe one or two factions that it's good into, or that struggle with a certain combination. So for example, not saying that this is going to be my list, but we always had a local guy who loved the double Axiom in Convergence. Mm. And if you don't have anti-drag tech, you're just having a bad time. You know, unless you just happen to have a wall that comes with it, or you're just immune to pushes and pulls and stuff like that, it's just sad times all around. But because that kind of tech itself will only work against, you know, a few factions. So, for example, Scorn now have loads of, you know, they have a theme that comes with a wall, you know, and you have stuff that will just stop you from being pulled. You have more sturdy around, all this kind of thing. Which just means that that's probably not a great list in a two-list format, but against the what used to be like Kador never used to take their anti-pull jacks, so against a normal sort of Kador brick, it could literally stand out of all the threat ranges and just drag a jack in each turn and kill it and crack on. But against stuff that stopped the pulls, it would just fall over, so you couldn't risk taking it in a two-list. But in a three list, that might actually be something that's good. So, I mean, I don't know if you guys have got something similar in your factions, which you kind of go, you know what, this absolutely stumps one or two factions, but you can never take it because it can't play as a pair, or it's just an awful pair. Like, it's an awful off list.
Yeah.
Okay.
Approach to it is to find that thing that is really good that maybe works against one or two things, and if you see them, really, really pushes the envelope when it comes to those factions, like anything that's in the faction, unless they have a specific counter. So, for example, the old Ghost Fleet, you know, you would just always see it against, I mean, everything, but, you know, against like Kador because they had so few magic weapons. You know, even if you weren't wanting to play Ghost Fleet and you don't see many Ghost Fleets now, having Ghost Fleet as your third list is probably still really good if you come up against, say, a Kador player who hasn't brought those options, because yes, you can still probably have a good game with the pair you brought, and one of those lists is probably the list you drop at a steamroller, but actually this third list, you can just be like, you know what, I'll drop this is great into this scenario because it's got more infantry or it's got more jacks and stuff like that, and you can just drop that and know that you've still got a good game.
Yeah, that does make sense. So you're basically playing a two list tournament and you're taking a third list which should give you is near to a favourable matchup into whatever three-list pair you drop. And if it comes up, great. Yeah, you've got a relatively easy round. And if it doesn't, you've got two lists that you're just cracking on with.
Exactly.
Hmm. Mm.
I think that's where Dark Horses shine as well in the third one, because, you know, against most people in a two-list format, you probably won't see as many Dark Horses. I know certain people love their Dark Horses, but in a third list, you could really, you know, imagine you're there and someone's got two lists and then they've got Constance Blaze. How much of your brain power is going to be wasted looking at that Constance Blaze list, wondering what it does, wondering how you, like, are they going to drop it into you? I mean, just think about it. Like, you get those three lists, you go, okay, so Mercs, we've got Ostrom, brilliant. We've got Damiano, brilliant. I know what they do. And then we've got Constance Blaze, and you just go,
Yeah.
So on a similar note to that, one thing I did used to do, if you've got a, like, scary metacaster that you're not playing, for instance, a Blood and Oil, not last year, just gone, but the year before, Madrak 2 was all the rage, and I didn't really like him. So I took Madrak 2 as my third list, and I never ever intended to drop him, but everyone just got terrified of him. And, like, you'd see weird drops because everyone was trying to drop their anti-Madrak 2 tech. So you can do that kind of thing where you can go, I don't play Haley 2, or I don't play Haley 3, but I'm going to include it in the pairing because it's going to force you to drop some weird list that isn't very good at dropping, you know, me, even because I'm a Kane 2 main, or whatever you play. Like, you can do that kind of stuff. And I think that's really interesting as well as a way of looking at it, if you're not someone that plays the main casters in the faction.
Yeah, I think the main thing, and this is something so that we don't get people giving us emails and messages on Facebook saying that, you know, they tried to scare someone away and it didn't work and they ended up with a bad drop, is the most important thing is the bit that James was talking about earlier, is that we are the kind of people, and if you're listening to us, you're probably a similar kind of person that will think these things through. You'll be sat in the loo and you'll have a war room out, or you'll, you know, be on a train and you won't be reading the newspaper, you'll be thinking about your pairing or something like that. So it may be the case that you've thought through your pairing a lot more than your opponent, and that you might have this amazing duck and weave and barb and all this kind of stuff, and then you put it down and they just put down something because that's their favorite caster.
Yeah.
So, or they could be like, actually, on paper, this looks awful, and you're trying to scare me away with that double axiom, but actually, I've played that before, and I know that's not as scary if I do this, this, and this. So, I'm actually going to drop the list that you don't think, you don't want me to drop, because you think I'm going to be scared away. And, you know, they kind of like double bluff you, but without doing it, and you're kind of very cocky, thinking that. I mean, a great example was Bones Con when I played against Matt. Like, Matt had sat there and had really thought through that the pair, and that was only two lists, not their mind three lists. He'd thought through all this stuff, and I was literally just sat there going, I'm gonna play Orion because I like Orion Lee. and I just, all I wanted to do was play Orion and just see how Orion did in the event. That was my goal. Was, I mean, I would drop Lucant at one point, but I was literally just like, I'm playing Orion. And Matt was like thinking of all the variables and going, oh, it's a bit of list chicken if I go this way and if I go that way, and I was just like, okay, I'm playing this list.
Yep, I've already chosen.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do you mean I've taken a slightly different approach on three lists this year? Maybe because of faction, actually. So last time I played the three list event was probably Nationals with Cadel, and I took my WTC pair at the time, and then Vlad won. I dropped Vlad one round one because it's DNC one, and just got it out of the way and just didn't touch him again. Data, I didn't even put him on my tray. And I was really gutted to play Tapper from the Midlands meta, and he dropped a list that I was like, oof, this isn't good. Don't always drop that. And he said, that's because you got Vlad 1. I was like, it's not even on my tray, mate. Come on. Anyway, so what I've found this year, I'm probably taking Scorn to Welsh, and I've got three lists. And I've found I've kind of ended up with just three generalist lists that are all okay. So what I'm trying to do is have three lists that will have, to a great lesser extent, obviously not into the whole field, but it's a decent amount of the field, or whichever factions I drop them into, just a 50-50 or maybe kind of a 40-60 at worst. So I'm not trying to tech for anything massively. I just want to try and get to the table and have a game. So I haven't thought about specific lists. I've just thought about, right, this is probably what I'll drop into whatever I see in Signar. And I find that kind of feels like it works. And it's also lists I feel like I've got a decent amount of experience with as well. So that's what it is. I think with three lists, I'm anticipating a lot more shit on that three list. So like Cadel, for instance, we've got two lists that you potentially take. So Aldrich 2 and I know Social 1 or something like that. Yeah, whatever your main pair is, again, there are some factions, as an example, where you can take a really hard question as list three. And in Cadel, that's going to be Armored Core. So even though all the toys aren't out, you can still take the triple shock trooper with Iris Gwon and just have the invulnerable result, or the iron fleshed armor 23 8 box. Yeah, toughening that. It's just, oh, it's going to be horrible. So you find you might end up with a third list that can just do what you're saying, Chris, which is just, it doesn't look like any three of yours can answer this random thing I can that I've got. So I'm just going to drop that and grind you out.
Yep.
So, yeah, so I'm hoping just to take some general bits and then have a game. I'm just thinking through. Yeah, pretty much. Well, it's Scorn, so it's basically 6 turtles across 3 lists.
You're a bad man. You're a bad man.
It's like when the Storm Striders came out, we went to Iron Moon. And that's honestly, I think it was 2 lists, and there was a table where across, I think, there was, 3 tables, 6 players, and there was, I think, 10 Storm Striders and something like 4 Hurricanes across 6 trays. It was glorious.
I love it. I mean, to be fair, I love Mark III more now. Mark III is amazing. I must admit, every time we talk about stuff, I just love the more how debates are actually becoming debates. You know, like we talk about lists and things, and about like we get to talk about these now. We'll be like, oh, so this and this and this. Whereas it used to be just, oh, so Sigmar, they'd be like, Haley 2.
Yeah.
Take Haley 2. Oh, you're playing Trolls. So you're playing Evolution thing and the Rune one?
Wow.
Trolls. I know, it's been. I've not slept much recently. James, you can correct me on the proper name of that one.
That's superhero and psychic, isn't it? Evolution thing and the Rune one.
The troll superheroes that used to smash everyone's face in Mark 2.
Exactly.
So was there any changes in the packs? Because I know we had the 2018 a couple of weeks ago. Are there any changes with regard to the Masters setup or the Steamworld setup?
Yeah. DNC is dead.
DNC's
gone. So it's not even there at all. So we will never have a requirement to play a list at tournament ever again.
Right, well, can I just add again? Can I ask you, how many times have you ever been list chicken, like list locked in your last round of a tournament?
Lots.
It's Americans.
I was going to say, I've literally never, ever been list locked in the last round, because if I get to the second last round and I'm going to be list locked, I just drop my other list.
Like, yeah, I think I've been once, but I think the problem is that in A, it's always been that way. So we were aware of it, and we always have like those weekends, which are at least normally 4 rounds, because we want to get a bit of a, you know, a good amount of games in the weekend, or there are a full weekend of like 7 games, so therefore it's not a problem. Whereas there's lots of events in America, it seems, which are 3 round qualifiers, and it's really weird, and there'll be like 3 round qualifiers with 3 lists, and you just okay. I mean, that just to me seems that that's just the tournament organizer being a bit silly, but it's gone, which is fine, and that's the important thing. The 15 second rule is gone as well.
Yeah,
I'd be happy to know. I mean, it kind of, I never understood how it got to that point that it was kept if, well, there was 7 turns.
You saw it come up at that tournament you guys ran in the
world. Oh god, yeah.
When I had to take a 2 second turn to win the game, it's caught loads.
That's what I mean. I never understood why, when they introduced the 7 turn limit, why they kept that in, because that was introduced to stop the clock slapping. But 7 turns instantly, because if you want to slap the clock back, good for you. You're probably going to lose anyway. So, you know, yeah, so that's gone. There's a few scenario changes which seem crazy, but there's not really much to talk about till we get the proper rule set.
There is a new scenario called Mirage, which is amazing. Just like, it's so much fun. But Haley Free's going to ruin it, like every scenario.
Yeah.
Rich, I swear to God, Cheeky can test both zones and 3 flags, so you can't score anything.
Just the last thing as well, because so we'll wrap this one up as a bit of a short one. But the last thing I will note, talked about CID, is Crucible Guard. Crucible Guard are still in CID at the moment, I believe. Now, I'm not a CID person because I don't play enough normal games. So I actually tend to stay away from CID as much as possible, other than general feel of models. The actual rules I'm not that bothered with until that they actually come out. But one of the posts I did see today from Mark Whitnestall was that he compared the amount of posts for Grimkin compared to Crucible Guard, and there seems to be a vast decrease in the amount of CID. Now, whether that means, you know, there'll be that kind of, you know, that you've just not got the people with, you know, posting lots and lots of things because CID was new and fresh then. But if you are interested in Crucible Guard, or you're interested in playing against Crucible Guard, if you've got the time that you can put into playing some games, getting onto the CID forum, posting how it looks, how things work, even if it's that they're absolutely fine, you know, if there's a unit that you go, I don't need to report back because it's not broken or it's not crap, if it's absolutely fine, post it to them, let them know that actually it works as designed, because then that means that when it comes for them doing their, you know, their actual final decisions, they've got, well, you know, we've got these 20-30 battle reports here that show they're working as we want them, and we can tone things down, boost things up, because what we don't want to happen, and I can see it now, is that people don't do the people that will complain the most will be the people that didn't do any CID when the Crucible Guard get finally released.
Yep.
I'm calling it now.
Yeah. Well, as long as their models are interesting options, it's fine.
Oh, it looks, I mean, they all look fascinating and they all look very interesting, and it's without introducing new rules, they've introduced a new way of playing from what I can tell, because everything is very synergistic, and it's less, because most factions are, they gain their synergy from the caster. And that's how it, anything synergizes, whereas these all appear to be that they very much synergized throughout the army, which could be a strength and a weakness. So
Yeah, definitely their casters seem really the casters seem to have a lot of agency in what they're actually doing in the game and how they're impacting the game, and it feels at the minute that Crucible Guard are pretty much take trains in list one and then whatever else is fine.
Infantry spam in list two.
But the trains seem pretty bonkers. Like, having four large bases table that's that mobile and actually feels okay, it's very strange.
It'll be interesting to see a lot of battle engines in the meta, like, you know, as a change.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you think about it, the new scenario Mirage, they can't do anything, they can't score anything, so...
Don't they score infantry circles?
No. Nope. Battle engines. Their battle engines score the rectangles.
Okay, cool, fair enough.
We never know, but anyway, unless there's anything else you guys want to shout out before we finish.
No, it's good. I think we'll do I'll see you maybe a couple of weeks time, or it's coming up to weeks after Welsh, and see how we all got list chickened and list locked in a three list event.
Cool. Sounds like a plan. Right there, guys. Well, thank you very much for this this brief one. Hopefully, it's still been good to listen to, and we'll try and get the other ones out when we aren't producing more future champions in War Machine. We'll get the whole crew together. And again, if you want to get in touch, you want to you know, let us know how the series is going, whether it's invigorated your area. It seems to be doing well everywhere. Let us know, and we'll report back. Also, any feedback for the process, let us know. We're collating it all now, so that hopefully next year we can get things in a more formal, understandable place from the start.
Can I stop you? Can we not use the phrase "invigorate your area"? That's...
Well, what can I say? We'll be the Viagra for your War Machine initiative. there will be some stiff choices ahead in your list. But anyway, yeah, so don't forget our website. It's www.wmhukiss, or just UKISS as everyone's referring to it now. And we've also got the Facebook and the Twitter to get in touch. So thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again soon.
Ta-ta for now.
Bye, everyone.